pit on your car to go left or right. I put that on, and the car behind me slows down to allow me to move in. It's a beautiful thing. But anyway, we're just so thrilled that we have this opportunity. And I just believe that, just take this moment just to say, just close your eyes with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would just speak to us. Lord, we know that you're here in this place. Everyone who's here presently in this building, but those who may be watching through Facebook Live, Lord, we just pray that you would encounter us. Lord, rather, help us to encounter you, because we know you're here. So just open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears to receive all that you and your love want to do in our lives this morning. I thank you for this privilege of sharing your word, sharing about Finland, sharing about the nations. I pray just burden our hearts today for the lost. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My wife is Sonia. I'm not sure if you have met her before. Go ahead and stand up. This is Sonia. Sonia is originally from Argentina. And we've been married now for 15 years. We've served as missionaries during that whole time, 15 years. The majority of them have been in Argentina. But for the last 3.5 years, we've been serving in the nation of Finland, way far north. And before I get into God's word, just a quick couple things about Finland. How many of you would be honest to say you just do not know a whole lot about Finland? You do not know. It's okay. Then there's no shame here, okay? That's why we're here. Good, good. We have some slides. Do we have those? I'll share some of them with you, maybe not all of them. For the screen here, just take a couple minutes to show those to you. Just kind of introduce you a little bit more to the culture that God's called us to the people that God's called us to, because, when we were in Argentina, that's southern South America, the south, as far south as you can go. And God just shifted us and spoke to us in a way that just, we knew it was God. And that's about 4.5 years ago. God said, I want you to go to Finland. Now, if you know your geography, Finland is on the far north in the world. So when God said, go into all the world, go to the ends of the earth, we took him literally. We went far south, and now we've gone to the far north. And maybe we'll have those up there. But let me ask you this. How many of you ever played the game Angry Birds? Or heard of Angry Birds? They're from Finland. With the video games and mobile games, they're like huge with that Clash of Clans. Finland, they have nothing better to do with the long winters than to create video games, all right? So Angry Birds are from Finland. There's a picture I have maybe of some scissors with an orange handle. Anybody ever have those? You have them? The Fisker scissors, they're from Finland. They're created and invented, and there's a town in Finland called Fiskars. And they sell more than scissors, but that's from Finland as well. And Finland is any coffee drinkers here? You know, when we were in Argentina, it was tea. And we've kind of made the shift now, because in Finland, they drink more coffee than any place in the world. They have, I don't know how many pounds of coffee per year per person in Finland. They love their coffee. Finland, they love nature. So it's a country that is beautiful with lakes and islands. In fact, there's over 180,000 lakes, 188,000 islands. How many of you ever heard of sauna? Or as we say in Finland, sauna? Okay, with the hot, you throw the water on the cold. That's from Finland. In fact, sauna is the only word we have in the English language from Finnish. Finnish is a very, very difficult language to learn. We're learning Finnish. We're speaking quite well, but it's one of the world's hardest languages to learn. And so, sauna, as we say in English, sauna in Finnish, is from Finland. They have so many saunas in Finland, the whole population at once can go to sauna. They have over 2.5 million of them, so it's a... they're getting that. There we go. We'll just show a few of these. Okay, there we are. There's my lovely wife. We're in Helsinki. You can just advance through those. We'll see a few of the pictures here, if we're able to. If not, we have a whole stand back here that you can come in and look at later on as well. Finns are much more reserved than in America. much more reserved than in Argentina. In Argentina, when we met people, they would give us a hug, or they would even kiss you on the cheek. Finns will kind of maybe shake your hand or just say hello. If Finns are coming into the church service, the first place they will fit will be the very back row and the very last seat, because they really like to have their privacy and their free space. In fact, in Finland, people enjoy being far from each other. Are we able to go through them? Okay. All right. If you go through a few of the slides of the country, we'll just advance to the next one, if you could. There's the Angry Birds. Go to the next one. There's the scissors. Yeah. Now you see it, right? Nokia cell phones. Nokia is from Finland. In fact, Finland invented the cell phone. So how many of you have a cell phone? You can thank Finland for good or for bad, right? We're all addicted to our cell phones. They came from Finland, and Finns are amazing at solving problems. And one of the problems they had was communicating in the far north. And so they invented the cell phone to communicate. This is the Northern Lights are from Finland. There's the sauna. We can go to the next one. There's the lakes. Isn't that beautiful? This beautiful country, nature. Next slide, please. There's the coffee. Berries in the forest. They love the berries. Next slide here. Reindeer. If you want to feel the hide of a reindeer, I'm sorry, we brought Rudolph with us. He's in the back. You can touch his hide. The next slide here. Okay, yeah. Finnish nightmares. This is a book on our table to give you a sense of how Finns feel. Because a lot of people don't know Finns. I'm going to welcome you into the Finnish culture a little bit. So I'm not sure if you can see this. They're at a bus stop. And it's raining. It's pouring outside. And it says, the weather is horrible, but the only shelter is occupied. In other words, Finns want to stay by themselves so much, they'd rather stay in the terrible rain than go underneath where somebody else is. Look at this next slide. This happened to us. You live in an apartment complex. Your neighbors will listen to the hallway to be sure nobody is there before leaving. When you come out of your house, if your neighbor's there, it's very awkward. It's a Finnish nightmare. That's why they call Finnish nightmares. And so there's this little guy here when you want to leave your apartment, but your neighbor is in the hallway. We lived 5 feet away, the next door neighbor of our apartment, for 3 years. And we barely saw them for the 3 years. Here's one more, and then we'll move on. One more. You're on a bus, and it says here, the bus is full. Some of you will get that over lunch. The bus is full. So how do you share Jesus in a culture where people don't want to be near you? Or I don't want to give the wrong impression. Finns are wonderful people. They're loving people. They're caring people. They have a big heart. But just to connect with them takes a little longer than here in America. When I go to the grocery store, nobody talks. When you're on the bus, people don't talk. When you're on the subway, people don't talk. And sometimes I will just break the silence, and I'll say to the cashier, hello, how are you? You want to see a deer in the headlights. They don't know what to do with that. But then I'll say, I'm American. And then that's okay, right? Because everyone, Americans, we smile too much. I say, I'm American, and I'm here living in Finland, and I'm learning the Finnish language. And I'll say this all in Finnish. Terve, mitä kuuluu sinulle? Haluaisin harjoitella suomen kieltä sinun kanssasi. Olen ulkomaalainen. And then I tell them I want to practice my Finnish, and then they want to help me, and then they'll talk. The greatest evangelistic tool in all of Finland, unfortunately, he's not a preacher. Do you want to know what the greatest evangelistic tool to reach someone for Jesus in the nation of Finland is? Do you want to know? I'm going to tell you. A dog. Having a pet. You see, Finns are so lonely, they have pets. And they take their pets for walks. And being a good pet owner, what do all pets want to do when they meet each other? Even Finnish dogs. They want to meet each other. They want to smell each other. They want to talk. And it's in the Finns, the pets become a point of contact, and that's how you meet. Sonia's gone out walking a friend of ours' dog, and the dog will meet another dog, and then it's socially okay then to talk. And while you're talking, you get to connect. And over time, you build a relationship, you build a friendship. The best evangelistic tool is having a dog. So maybe we go back to Phil and we'll get a dog, okay? All right, well, on the next slide here, if we just go through a few of these. This is the city of Helsinki. This is the Church of Helsinki. Church for Finns is something that is does not have the center of their lives. In fact, God, it's so secular in this part of Europe that secularism is simply saying, God, I want you out of the center of life, in my life, my family, my society. That's what secularism is leaving God completely outside of things. And so the church in Finland has gone through a very difficult time. And this is one of the reasons that we went to Finland. We're the only missionaries currently in Finland. We sense God was wanting to do something in Finland. And we took the step of faith, and we're asking churches to pray with us and to take that step of faith with us to see this nation experience the freedom that you and I experience in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to just stop there. Hopefully that whetted your appetite for Finland. I have a whole book of Finnish nightmares. There is animals back on the display table. The reason for that is Finland is covered by forest. 80% of Finland is forest. Finns love going to the forest and hiking. So we have animals that you would see in Finland. Come and ask us questions about Finland. We would love to share more with you. And we're just so thrilled to be there. I will share this, though. What we're doing in Finland, if we go to the next slide, is three areas. You can go to the next slide. Is we're working with university students is one of the key areas. We're based out of a church, but we're working with university students because this age group is searching, and they're open. And we believe that they need to hear that Jesus loves them and experience and have their questions. We love questions. So we're pioneering university ministry in the capital of Helsinki. We're also, Sonia is working with survivors of human trafficking. We have a home in Finland where Sonia volunteers and works at, that when the police rescue a woman who's been involved in human trafficking, they put these women in the home and we're able to share the love of Jesus with them. And so our thing is that we're believing God to renew the church of Finland. So church discipleship is also a very part of our hearts in Finland. Okay, so we have a website, stephenandsonia.com. Don't go there now, but you can go there after service today, stephenandsonia.com, to have more information. You can sign up for our newsletter online. We can stay connected that way so you know what's happening over in the nation of Finland. Amen? Who wants to go to Finland? Come with us. Yes, it's cold. It's cold. We have a reflector on our display table because it's so dark in the wintertime, people wear reflectors on their clothing so that you can see them. And the dogs too. Yes, of course they do. And the reflector, well, yeah, that was invented in Finland because of the need in Finland. But in the summertime, it's 23 hours of sunlight, the long summer nights. So lots to share, but who wants to hear from God's word? Amen, amen. I want to share something that I pray makes you hungry today. You know, we're hungry for a lot of things. We can be hungry for good things, you know, for schooling, a good family, a good life, and all these things are hungry. We get hungry for food. Who likes food here? I will be talking about food, so if I make you hungry, I apologize. Yes, I just saw someone lift up their prayer. These are prayer cards. This is our gift to every single one of you. And for you online, if you're watching, you can get one too if you'd like. This is our gift to you. Remember to pray for us. I always tell them, you can put this on a refrigerator or your Bible, whichever you open more. Okay. All right. Some people got that. Okay. Yes. Okay. Here, Bibles, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I wanted to share briefly with you this morning an incredible story, well known. I'm not going to share that story. I want to share the tail end of that story of when Jesus and his disciples go through a town in Samaria. And the disciples are sent off to buy what? To buy some food. There it is. To get some food. So obviously they're hungry. And they go off and buy some food. You know the story that Jesus is at a well. He meets a woman at this well. And he asks her for a glass of water. And the conversation happens there. It's an amazing story. It's the woman at the well. It's beautiful of this conversation. I'm not going to go into all that. But if you're familiar with that story, it will help you to transition to where I'm going in verse 27. Because in verse 27, when I read this a few weeks ago, I was drawn into this story. Because as I read this, there's so many things happening in these next verses that it just drew me in. And this is what the Holy Spirit just does. He wants to speak. And listen to what, here's what I mean. It says this in verse 27. Just then, this is his disciples, returned. This is from buying the food, so they're bringing the food back. They returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" I'm going to just pause there for a moment. Jesus has been talking with this woman. This is something that Jewish men did not do in that time. Not only was he talking with her, he was a rabbi. So a rabbi was talking with this woman. And not only that, they were in Samaria. So she was a Samaritan woman speaking with a rabbi. Culturally, this was something that would never happen. So when the disciples come back, they've got the food, they have the sandwiches or whatever for the, maybe that's the opening game for some football team today, and they're tailgating, right? "We got the food, Jesus." No one's here going to watch a game this afternoon. So they're bringing the food back, and they're wearing the jerseys, and they're ready for their team. And Jesus is talking to this woman, and it says there, they are surprised. They're so surprised that they begin to elbow each other, and they say, "What's he doing? What's he doing? And why is he talking with her?" And they want to ask him, "Why are you talking with her? Who is she? What's going on here?" They're so intrigued. They're so confused. They don't know what to do. And then right after this moment, look at verse 28. Then, it's referring to the woman now, leaving her water jar. She leaves her water jar behind. The woman went back to town and says to the people, verse 29, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did." This is referring to the conversation they had. She runs back to town, and so this is, the disciples are more confused. She's running off. She leaves her water jar behind. She goes to town. She knocks on all the doors. She's text messaging all her friends. She's posting to Facebook. She's doing a Facebook Live. "Come, come, everybody." She's making noise. She's maybe yelling. And because she says, "Come, see a man who's told me everything I ever did," she had to say it in one sentence because she's going to person to person to person. And now people are opening their doors. They're coming outside. What's going on? They see the woman. They're hearing all this. And guess what happens to them? They are what? Surprised. They're confused. They're wondering. They're asking questions. What's going on? What's happening? And they drop what they're doing. Listen to this. They drop what they're doing. They're so intrigued. They're so interested. They're so surprised at what's going on. It says this, verse 30, which says, "Could this be the Christ?" Like she's wondering, "Could this be the Christ?" Verse 30, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. So let me just pause there for a second. The disciples, how are they? Surprised, confused, wanting to ask questions. The woman is surprised. She's asking questions. Could this be the Christ? The townspeople are leaving everything. They're coming out of the town. They're coming to see this Jesus that they've heard so much about from this woman. Who is this man? They're intrigued. They're confused. They want an answer. Everyone is asking questions. Verse 31, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, do what? eat something. Are you hungry? Some people are. I think about lunch, right? You're already there, so I'll be short, okay? I'll be short. Eat something. We're hungry. So, you know, food is always the kind of brings us back, right? Okay, let's eat something. Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. I have food to eat that you know nothing about. And look what the disciples say. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? They are so confused. They are so confused. But Jesus is not confused. He says, I have food that right at this moment, you know nothing about it, but I am so hungry to eat it. Questions. This whole opening scenario is the disciples have questions. The woman has questions. The people of the town have questions. My question for you is, do you have questions? Are you intrigued? Because when I started seeing this in God's word, I was like, what is going on here? And then Jesus says this, I have food that you don't know nothing about. How many of you would like to know what Jesus' food is? I'm so glad you asked, because that's the very next thing he says. Look at verse 34. My food, here it is. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. I'll say that again. My food is to do what? The will of him who sent me and to finish his work. To do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What Jesus is saying, he's not against food because he was just drinking water a few verses before. And it's not against food, but what he's saying is this, that there is food at that moment. There was something that he was more hungry for, something that was more nourishing, more satisfying, and more fulfilling than that roast, that steak on the grill and bake. I'll stop. There is something that at this moment, my disciples, that I am more hungry for than the food that smells so good, that New Jersey bagel. Oh my goodness. But it is, there is something I am more hungry for. Listen to this. I'm hungry for something that you do not know, but I'm going to tell you what it is. Because everyone's asking questions, and I want you to know the answer to it. And he says, here's his answer. He says, my food again is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What does that mean? Verse 34. And then he explains it. Do you not say, 4 months from now and then the harvest? You see, the harvest is what's used to make the food. Make the bread, make the barley, make the wheat, make the food that they're eating. He says, you know, 4 months from now, you're going to bring in a harvest, and that harvest is going to come in. And yes, that's going to make your food that you're going to eat right now. This food right now, 4 months from now, there's going to be a harvest to make more food. But I tell you, look at what he says. I tell you, open your eyes. Open your eyes. And look at the fields. Look what he says. They are what? Ripe. Right now, at this very moment, the fields, not in 4 months, today, at this moment, they are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, they're paying people to go into the harvest fields. Even now, the reapers are there in the fields. Even now, they're drawing their wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for what? The harvest for what? Who has it? Eternal life. You ever went to a buffet or you just ate a lot of food and you probably said, I will never eat again. You ever said that? I am so full right now. I will never eat again. That night, you're standing in front of the refrigerator with the door open, right? I'm hungry again. Again, I'm hungry again. And that's okay. You know, that's temporal. But there is a harvest and there's food that lasts for eternity. And when Jesus says to them, open your eyes. Why do you say open your eyes? Because right here, there is a time factor. There are certain things. Listen, hear me please. There are certain tasks that are so urgent that you, that need to be done, that time is of the essence. Right now is the evidence. The harvest is one of those examples. When it's harvest time, you work to bring the harvest in because it's harvest time. Workers are sent out and they go until the work is finished. And Jesus is telling his disciples, you're saying 4 months is harvest. That's the harvest you know, but here's the harvest that I know. The harvest that I'm hungry for. Hear me now, please. The harvest that I'm hungry for is ready right now. And many scholars believe when Jesus says, look, the fields. He didn't point to the cornfields of New Jersey. He says, look at the harvest fields. Who was coming to Jesus? Remember? Who was coming to Jesus? The town. And Jesus says, would you look at that? Look at the people. The harvest. You see, Jesus, he's looking at food, and that's satisfying. It tastes good. But then he says, oh my goodness, look at the harvest. What would happen if him and her and that family over there, that little boy, isn't he cute, that little boy, what would happen if they came to experience eternal life with me? Wouldn't that make you hungry? Wouldn't that make you put down that Dunkin' Donuts bag? I'm talking to myself. I'm not talking to anybody here. If you feel touched by the steak and the Dunkin' Donuts and the bagels, that's all to me, all right? Jesus is saying, people are the harvest. People are the harvest. And friends, Jesus says, open your eyes. You know, this passage is so encouraging, but so challenging. Here's how it's challenging. Maybe my eyes are not as open as they need to be. And can I just encourage you this afternoon? Jesus, open my eyes. Open our eyes. You know, open our eyes to see Finland. Open our eyes to see Europe. Open our eyes to see New Jersey, America, the nations. The world, God is looking at the world. He sees the lost. He sees the lost. Now, as we close this passage, maybe you're wondering, okay, I get it, Stephen. I need to be more hungry than just food. My eyes need to be open. I can see the people as you see them, Jesus. But how do I do that? I'm so glad you asked again. You're such a great, great congregation. I'm going to jump a few verses ahead. Verse 39, as we close these verses here. Verse 39 says this. We jump back to the Samaritans. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him. Why? Because of the what? The woman's testimony. The woman's testimony. Well, if you're wondering today, what can I do? The first thing that we can do is to simply be willing to do and to go. Be willing to go. This is amazing to me that the woman's testimony is why many of them believe. But look what it says. He told me everything I ever did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. I need to pause there for a second, because this is amazing. A few verses earlier, do you remember when Jesus came, was there, the woman goes off, the disciples are there, the disciples have food, and then what did the disciples do with that food? It says they urged him to do what? To eat. They urged him to eat. And what did Jesus say? No, I'm not going to eat that food. I have some food to eat. And a few verses later, the Samaritans are coming down, and they're saying, Jesus, Could this be the Christ? And many are putting their faith in him, but a few have some questions. A few aren't certain, but they want to know this Jesus. And so what happens, they do this. Jesus, we urge you, stay with us. Eat with us. Spend time with us. And what does Jesus say? Okay. Let's eat. Could you imagine the disciples are saying, he said, eat. He said, no. But now he's saying, what the Samaritans are saying, let's eat together. And Jesus says, oh, I thought you would never ask. I am so hungry. Why? What's the difference? It's not about the food. Because Jesus' food is people. Now, I'm going to talk to myself for a moment. If Jesus had sent me to the town, what would I have brought back? Because when the disciples went, what did they bring back? Food. When the woman went to town, what did she bring back? The whole town. What would you rather bring back? Jesus, look what I brought for you. This is a great meal. As great as it is. And this, I'm talking to myself now. If Jesus sends me into my life to live every day of my life, and somebody here had a birthday, if I'm not mistaken, perhaps I saw, right? On Facebook, Pastor, happy birthday. Every day of our lives. What am I bringing back? I'd like to think that I'd bring back more than food if Jesus wants me to bring back something more than that. And finally, the verse here, verse 42 says, I'm sorry, verse 41, and because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Listen to this. Now we have heard for ourselves. And listen to this. And we what? We what? One more time. And we know that this man really is the what? The Savior of the world. When I saw that word, we know, I was so impacted because the whole story centered around questions. You know, we all have questions. Maybe you're here today and you have questions about life, about faith, about God. It's great. Bring your questions. Jesus wants to take your questions. But look, the Samaritan said, we have been with Jesus, and now we know he is the Savior of the whole world. Jesus came to save the whole world. And friends, that includes Finland. Even when the people don't want to talk to you, even when I'm thinking, Jesus, you love them. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. What would happen if every believer around the world would pray this prayer? Jesus, open our eyes to see the way you see. I love how Pastor said, a baptism of what? Of love. I think that'd be a great prayer this morning as we close. Lord, baptize me with your love. Open my eyes. Help me to love whom you love. Questions. Time is now. And be willing to go. If you're willing to go, there's no telling what God will do through your life. Where you're at, in school, at work, at play, and around the world. So as I close, I jot down four thoughts as application, what we can do today about this. Number one is don't settle for a simple food or to just get by in life when Jesus has prepared so much more. Let me say that again. Don't settle for just the bag of food the disciples brought back when there's so much more that God wants to do through us. Can you say amen to that? I think he wants to move. And we said, not 4 months. Today he wants to do something. So don't settle every day. Ask God, what do you want to do today? How do you want to use me? Open my eyes, Lord Jesus. Number two is just that. Oh, ask Jesus to open your eyes to see the harvest around you and around me. It's a great prayer. Lord, make me hungry for more. Open my eyes to see. Number three, let's get hungry enough so that the decisions we make will impact eternity. Let's get hungry enough. Jesus was hungry. He said, I don't want that food. I want that food. I'm not going to eat this. I'm going to eat that. People, knowing God for eternal life. Let's get hungry so our decisions are impacted. And finally, can we believe, Bayshore? Can we believe that God is about to do something in the nations? And when he said, I want to finish his work, I believe he meant to say, I want to finish, like Finland finish. I want to finish. Yeah. Amen. I'm kind of taking a little bit of license here, but it works, right? For Finland. Because not everyone can go, but we can. And you can go with us through your prayers and like other missionaries to send us forth with your giving. Amen. Can I ask you a question? Are you hungry today? I know we're hungry for food, but are we hungry for so much more? Can I pray for you? Just close our eyes. Just ask God to speak to us. You know, how does this apply to each of us? Maybe differently for each of us. Maybe for you it's going to mean different than what your neighbor is. But what I want you to hear this morning is that Jesus came to bring life. And whenever he had that opportunity to do that, he was hungry and he was going to say no to other things. And he took this one moment with his disciples. And the same way that he wants to take this moment with you and me, he wants to teach us. He wants to answer these questions. And he wants to reveal that now is the harvest. Lord Jesus, thank you that you took a moment with your disciples in the midst of their questions, the confusion of what's going on. Why is he talking to this woman? And then it became evident why he was talking. He was talking because he wanted to be with her. Why did he stay for 2 days in Samaria when they were just passing through? It's evident he wanted to be with them. And why did he want to be with them? And Lord, why do you want to be with any of us? It's because you love us so much that you would cross heaven and earth and go to a cross, and so that now life is available. There is a harvest even now that when people call upon the name of Jesus, they are saved. All of Samaria said, we know this man is the Savior of the world. And how will they not know unless we go and we tell them? And so I pray that this morning you would stir our hearts, that you would open our eyes. Lord, that you would make us hungry for more than food today. Make us hungry for the things that you're hungry for. And that's to see people come to know you as Lord and as Savior. So Lord, stir our hearts today. Baptize us with love today. Make us, Lord, to be hungry for what you're hungry for. And help us to see a huge harvest of the lost souls for eternal life, I pray. Give us ears to see, ears to hear, eyes to see what you see this day, Lord, we pray. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for giving us this privilege to open God's word, and just invite you after service today if you'd like to know more about Finland or just to talk with us. We're here to do that. But just go forth and just each day ask God, say, Lord, what harvest is there today? Amen.
Thank you. if you guys want to stand with us. That was such an awesome word, you guys. I'm taking over service. He's figuring it out. He's like, what's everybody doing? Anyway, so yes, we just thank you, Lord, for making us hungry. And we just thank you, Lord, for giving Pastor Mike his 50th year on this earth. Yeah, amen. Amen. And Bill Arose also had a birthday, but he only turned 21. So, yeah. So we are going to sing happy birthday to these two. Yeah. Amen. And afterwards, we want to invite everyone. Bill, you're getting beckoned. We're wrecking service right now. So, and afterwards, we want to invite everyone not only to visit with Stephen and Sonia Wallace, but also to join us in the fellowship hall for cake and coffee as we celebrate these two. So you guys, take it away.
Thank you so much. But before we go next door, real quick, would you guys come on up, Stephen, Sonia? Babe, can you come here, please? I feel like we just want to make sure, pray over them as a church and release some breakthrough in their lives and ministry. Father, we thank you for Stephen and Sonia. Thank you for this reconnection. Thank you for who you are in their lives and connecting all of us together in your spirit. And the impression I really got as you were sharing the word is just breakthrough. Felt like there's going to be a powerful breakthrough when you go back to Finland. So, Lord, we're asking that you bust down doors that everyone else has said can't be taken down, so we give up. So we're not going to go back there. It's a dead end. All those words and those attitudes spoken over that nation, Lord, we say thank you that you've given Stephen and Sonia a sledgehammer that's going to tear those things down in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you're going to open up doors that no man will be able to shut, God. And you're going to keep doors open that no man can push closed. So thank you, God, for what you're doing in their lives. And thank you that the legacy, when their season is finished in Finland, is going to be that they were trailblazers. Lord God, trailblazers, Lord, and the word, I can't remember the word, but somebody help me. Someone who seeks out new land. Pioneers, thank you. For pioneers in an area that, Lord God, nothing has been found yet. So thank you for this awesome new thing that you're doing and the breakthrough that you're empowering them to create in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.